the freedom we have to study your word and to dig into your word and to be taught by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, as we look into an area tonight, Father, I thank you for the preparation of my heart. I thank you for the preparation of my brothers and sisters' hearts, both here and those who will listen online. I thank you for the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes you've given them to hear and receive that which you want to impart to their lives for one purpose and one purpose only, Lord, that we become more and more in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got an interesting subject, and it's something that the Lord has brought my attention to that I hear a lot. And when I started thinking about it, I've heard it a lot from the time I got saved until now. I got saved in 79. And then this past week, this statement I kept seeing and hearing, either in a TV advertisement or in a newspaper. And I'm just going to test your, I'm going to do a worldly test on you. Have you ever heard this statement, you are in good hands with, very good. That's a motto that they have established. You're in good hands with Allstate. Now, what is Allstate? It's an insurance company. Okay. I'm going to read you the definition from Webster of insurance. It's coverage by contract whereby one party agrees to guarantee another against a specified loss, means of guaranteeing protection or safety. And when I got done looking that up, the Lord goes, that statement is a good motto and a good statement to have. But he said, you need to change it. And the statement that he gave me, because Allstate says you are in good hands with Allstate, the Lord said, you are in great hands with God. We are in great hands with God. But the Lord said, that's a good statement, but I want my people to understand there's more to that statement than just saying those words. And I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 48. I'm going to lay a little groundwork here, and then I'm going to get to where the Lord kind of led me. Isaiah chapter 48. In this chapter, Israel's unfaithfulness is being addressed. And in verse 9, it says, for my sake I will defer mine anger, and for my praise I will refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? God's a jealous God. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture here, he says, my hand hath laid the foundation. See, sometimes we need to be reminded of how mighty and how powerful God's hands are. He laid the foundation. His hands laid the foundation of this whole world. And then he says, "And my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." Between God's hands and God's mouth to speak, everything in this world came into existence. And see, God is asking and reminding them of the works of His hands, the power in those hands. See, sometimes we want to take credit. And there's nothing in your life or my life that God doesn't have a hand upon. Nothing. But yet we want to take credit for it. And there was a servant that God wrote a whole chapter of the Bible about. And I want you to turn over to Job chapter 12. This is a very special book to me because at the time, there was a time in my life I was going through a very difficult thing, and Pastor Bill was teaching on Job. Now, it wasn't very comfortable because what he was teaching on, Sue and I were living, but that was okay. It just made it more understandable. In Job chapter 12, it says, verse 9, it says, Who knoweth not in all these that are that the hand of God hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? And the breath of all mankind. But he says in verse 7, he says, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee." See, God is kind of reminding Job, I think you forgot who put this all together. You know? And he's reminding him in verse 10, he says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing?" The soul of mankind, your soul, my soul, is in the hand of God. Every living soul is in the hand of God. But there's more to it. He says, "Whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" So, if our soul, if we're a soul, spirit, soul, and body, our spirit is in God's hand, our soul is in God's hand, and our body's in God's hand. Amen? It should be. It's not always. So, turn over to Daniel chapter 5. I want to read something there. Daniel chapter 5. I want to look at verse 23. There's one part of this verse because it says, "But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the God of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hath not glorified." Our breath according to this passage of Scripture, is in God's hands. Our breath, our soul, and our heartbeat. Every aspect of our being is in God's hands. And the Lord said, we forget that. We forget that sometimes. And I said, Lord, but I think your people know that they're in God's hands. And when something's going wrong, whether it's your children, your spouse, your friends, there's a statement that most of us make. Well, they're in God's hands. What does that mean? That's correct. That's a good place to be, in God's hands. But if we put them in God's hands, why don't we let God's hands do what He needs to do to get them to the place that He wants them to be? He's the only one that can change my heart or your heart. And there's a passage of Scripture, as I was thinking about that, the Lord goes, you know this Scripture. Go read it. So, I'm going to read it. Go to Jeremiah. Does anyone know what chapter I'm going to? Just a test. Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 1. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. See, you and I were marred. We were messed up. We were messed up before we came to the Lord. We were imperfection. We had imperfections. We had all kinds of things going on in our life. We were very similar to this clay that he's talking about here that was in the potter's hand. Now, if any of you have ever done pottery, does the beginning work that you start look very attractive? It's really ugly. It's just a big blob. Guess what? You were a big blob. I was a big blob. You're welcome. But when God's hands begins to form you, and God's hand begins to form me, something begins to happen. And guess when that forming started? When you were inside your mother's womb. God's hands were inside that mother's womb, beginning to form and shape you into who you are today. Now, go over to Isaiah chapter 64. Chapter 64. Verses 4, and I don't know where I'll stop yet. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. But thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. In our iniquity, in our imperfections, in all the mars and scars and hurts and ill feelings that we have, when we understand that we are in God's hands. See, we get frustrated, brothers and sisters. We get frustrated because sometimes we just feel like nothing's happening. Or we look at another brother or sister and we're going, Lord, when are they going to get it? Why do we say that? Because at that moment, we've taken them out of God's hands. We do that with children. There's been many times that Sue and I, and I know Pastor Mark has too, people will come up for their children, to pray for their children. And that's an important thing to do. But when you dedicate your children to the Lord, guess where you've placed them? In God's hands. In God's hands for a safekeeping, for divine protection. And that's a good place to place your children. But the problem is, we don't leave them there. We like to take them out of God's hands and try to mold and shape them and try to put them on that potter's wheel and try to turn them and try to get them to be what we want them to be. And the Lord gave Sue and I this example, is when you give them to God, put them up on a mantle. Just put a spiritual mantle, whether you have a fireplace or don't. Make a spiritual mantle. And see the pictures of your children on that spiritual mantle. As a reminder that they're in God's hands. And when you walk by that mantle, pray and intercede as God leads you, because your prayer and your intercession is helping mold and form the hand of God in their life. But don't take them back. Because as soon as we take them out of God's hands, then we got our hands on them, or on a brother or sister's life, or someone else's life. And guess what? We're not very good at molding and shaping. Because he said, where am I, Lord? Okay, there I am. In verse 8, he says, but now, O Lord, thou art my Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Okay? Does Father God love us? Yes, he does. And when we're in the Father's hands, and we're pliable and we're moldable. He can take us that were ugly and marred and make us into the most beautiful vessel in this world. And you know what? He's doing that. But our problem is we keep looking at the little marred areas of the vessel while it's still on the wheel, while it's still in God's hands. And God said, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it. I know how to remove those imperfections. I know how to smooth out those rough edges. Just wait. Wait till I'm finished with this vessel. It will be beautiful. But before it can be finished, and this is what the Lord reminded me to say, before it can be finished, what has to happen to that clay vessel? Oh, it's got to go in the fire. It's got to get heated up. See? But a loving father, he would put us in the fire? Yeah, he would. Why? Because that's what we need to complete the perfection of the potter's hand or the father's hand in our life. The fire is good. Fire has a lot of positive effects. I wrote down, nope, not there yet, Lord. Go over to Psalm 95, please. Psalm 95, I'm going to start in verse 3. For the Lord is a great God. Can we say amen to that? He's a great God. Well, if He's a great God, and we're in His hands, we're in great hands, then, aren't we? And a great king above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His what? The sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. We know that story. But He says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. See, we know in John chapter 10, does He know His sheep by their name? Yes. Will His sheep listen to another voice? No. His sheep know His voice, another voice they will not follow. And if we're the sheep of His pasture, And we are we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You as one of God's sheep, me as one of God's sheep, we're in God's hands. He's got you and I in his hands. You know, there's that old song, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. And he goes on and on and on. But he's got the whole world in his hand. That's hard for you and I to fathom. Not only does he have the whole world in his hand, you as one sheep are in his hand. He's got to have some pretty big hands to have all of us in his hand. But he does. And you know why that's so important to know that you are a sheep in his hand? Because we have an enemy that wants you and I to believe that God doesn't care for you. God doesn't care what's going on in your life. But the next time the enemy comes at you and says that, I want you to go to John chapter 10, please. And you throw this in his face and see how long he stays around. John chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they sometimes follow me. No, they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of where? My hand. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He's greater than all. You are in great hands with God. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That word pluck means there to pull or take by force. There is no weapon, no power on this earth that can pluck you or pull you out of God's hands. And you know what the easiest way to get out of God's hands? You choose to. I choose to. I choose to not be in God's hands. It's that simple. The enemy would love for us to do that. Go to Psalm 138, please. See, we just read that as sheep, we're in God's hands, and no one can pull or take us out of God's hands, right? So why would we ever want to get out of there? Well, in Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you ever walk in the midst of trouble? You ever have tough times in your life? Oh, yeah. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Our Father's loving hands saves us. His right hand, we are saved by the right hand. And he says, he shall stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies. Do you know
All he has to do is just stretch forth his hands. And the enemy has nothing he can do. Because God's hands are so powerful. So powerful. Go to Psalm 92. Turn back a few chapters. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verse 4. It says, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of whose hands? Thy hands." See, we're not going to triumph in the strength and the power that's in our hands. We triumph in every aspect of our life because of His hands. Victory is in His hands. And I wrote down some things here. As I was looking through scriptures, His hands formed and fashioned the whole earth. The soul of every living being is in His hand. Every breath is in His hand. Enemies are in His hand. Safety is in His hand. Triumph is in His hand. Righteousness is in His hand. Everything that God has for you and me as a marred vessel, as an imperfect vessel, God takes us into His hands. Those loving hands. And this is what really hit me about the hands of God. When Jesus died upon the cross, what was stretched out on the cross? The hands of Jesus. They were stretched out. Those hands that were stretched out, those hands that were pierced, those hands that had those spikes driven into them, were the same loving hands of God that keeps you and I, that keeps our breath, that keeps us alive, that sustains us. And those outstretched hands, there's no better place than to be in the hand of God, because His love was in those outstretched hands. How many times as a little child you may have had something going wrong? Someone had, one of the little neighbor boys or neighbor girls had put a dent in your favorite little wagon or whatever, and you're all upset. And you come in, you got this really long face on, and all of a sudden you see Dad, and you go running into his lap. And He puts those hands around you and just gives you a big squeeze, a big hug, and everything that you were feeling when you came in that door is gone. That's what Father God does. When we allow ourselves to be in the hands of God, and we allow ourselves to be on God's potter wheel, and we allow Him to begin to form and shape, and then put us in the heat, and then bring us out, and do the final paintings and whatever else that goes on the outside of that piece of pottery. See, if you were to ask people that you knew when you first got saved, they probably wouldn't recognize you. they probably wouldn't know who you are. Because you shouldn't look the same. You shouldn't act the same. And I'm not saying you shouldn't look the same because of aging process, but that is part of the process. But we're not going to look the same because we don't act the same. We don't have the spirit of the world. We don't have the Antichrist spirit operating our lives anymore. We have the spirit of the living God. And we're in God's hands. So that statement that Allstate makes, you're in good hands with Allstate, good model. But you're in great hands with God. You're in great hands with God. Why are you in great hands with God? Because He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a great Father. He's a great protector. He's a great healer. He's a great deliverer. All those things we get by just being in His hands. See, that takes away. I got this one person that comes by our neighborhood all the time. I invite him in. He's a Jehovah's Witness. I invited him in the house and had a nice long discussion for about an hour and a half. He always comes by to check on me. Of course, he always brings up Trinity. The Trinity. Because they don't believe in the Trinity. But, you know, I see this man in the heat of the summer. He's trying to earn his way into heaven. So this time I kind of stumped him. Because one of the previous conversations, we were talking about the 144,000. Because they believe 144,000 will be saved. I said, you don't have to answer this question right now, but I said, I got a question for you. I said, I know you believe 144,000 are going to be saved. But how do you explain when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Whosoever means anyone who's ever lived upon this earth. Whosoever. That's what that means, whosoever. So from the time of the beginning until now, that's a lot more than 144,000. He didn't say anything. He went on to another subject. Want to know what I thought about what was going on in Korea? And I'm like, you know, everything that's going on in the world right now is in God's hands. God's got everything under control. And I said, you know, some people compare Trump to Cyrus, King Cyrus. I said, you know, you look at his administration, he's got Pence as a VP, he's got Pompeo as a Secretary of State, who I didn't know, but apparently he's a very strong believer. So he's got these people. What are they? They are sheep in God's hands to be used by God to bring about God's plans and purposes the same as they are for you and me. And God's bringing it about. God is having His way in regard to what's going on in your life and my life. But see, our problem, the most of the time, is we rely too much upon our own hands, our own strength, our own abilities, our own wisdom, our own knowledge. And what God wanted me to try to convey and get across, and I pray and I hope that I'm doing that, is if you're not in God's hands, get in them. There's no better place to be than in God's hands. If you've placed a situation, a circumstance, a family member, a daughter, a son, a child, a grandchild, if you've placed them in God's hands, know that God knows how to form and shape that individual to the place and plans and purposes that He has for them.
He created them, and he has a plan and a purpose for every one of his creations. Remember Pastor Mark showing that one video of the planets and the technology they have with certain lens on cameras to take these pictures, and you see the majesty of all these stars. You know whose hand put every one of those stars there? God did. You know whose hand is upholding every one of those stars? God's hand. You know who's allowing this earth to be at a certain rotation and a certain angle so it spins and doesn't just poof, fall? God's hands. That's how mighty God is. And in closing, before I play a song, the Lord, as powerful as God's hands are, as powerful as he has the ability to change things and uphold things and create things and make things, his hands are the most loving hands you'll ever encounter in your life. The most loving hands. I've seen people come up for ministry. I've seen people in my life over the years that I've been saved. All of a sudden, they have a spiritual encounter with the Lord. And you see them. You see them just melt. They just melt. Their heart just melts. And the reason it just melts is because they've been touched by the hand of God. And that love. And I remember, didn't Pastor Bill do a miracle of touch? Yeah. The Lord reminded me of that little booklet. There's a miracle in the touch of a hand on a human body. There's even a greater miracle and a greater power when those loving hands of God touch you. People get anointed. People get set out to be in ministry by the laying on of hands. There's so many things that occur with the hands. But the hand of God, when you're in the hand of God and when you're touched by the hand of God, you will always come out to be that vessel that God formed you and turned you on the potter's wheel. And as ugly as it was, as defaced as it was, as many imperfections as it had, when God starts to just take those gentle hands that only God can do, he just slowly starts to shape you, slowly starts to form you. And unfortunately, Sue says this numerous times, she says, you've probably caused many angels to retire. But you know what? At those times, God probably said, yeah, it's looking pretty good, but we need to start over a little. There's some imperfections in that clay I don't like. So we're going to make a little adjustment here. Then when you feel like you're just sailing along, as Pam said, we get thrown into the fire. We get thrown in the heat. Same hand that saves us, same hand that protects us, same hands that loves us, but it's the same hands that knows when to pull us out of that fire, because we're not good at taking heat. We don't like heat. But yet God knows exactly how much heat. Randy, you can stand. Ray, how much heat you can stand. Nori, how much heat you can stand. He knows exactly how much heat we can stand. And when he says, that's enough, out we come. Cool down a little, back on the wheel. Because God is wanting to form you and I into the vessels. See, thank God, I love each and every one of you. But thank God, he only made one of me, and he only made one of you. He made each one of you a unique vessel that he individually formed with his hands, and each and every one of us has a unique purpose and plan that God wants us to understand. But he also wants us to understand, let him do the work. Don't try to do it yourself. You know, we mess up more things by getting our hands involved than just letting and watching God's hands form, mold, shape, perfect.